want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Is there anyone that feels like this guy up on the screen right now? How many of you untangled Christmas lights this year? You did? Was it fun? No, nobody thinks that's fun. Life seems impossible. And that's the name of the message today, Christmas Impossible. Because we live in a sinful world. And have you ever asked yourself the questions like, why am I struggling like this? Why is this happening to me? Why wasn't I born in more favorable circumstances? The Christmas season can be joyful for some while riddled with trouble or painful memories for others. Some may even be sinking in the pit of despair and discouragement right now. Christmas may seem impossible, but we have to know from our text today and the scripture we're about to read that some may be sinking down, and Christmas may seem impossible, but there is a God who is willing to come to the humblest of circumstances to be born to make Christmas possible for the human that's bound by sin and the consequences of it in their lives. This God is able to come into my life, into your life, no matter how insignificant you might believe that you are. I know all of us, perhaps most of us in this room, have had thoughts reeling in their minds, replaying about how insignificant we really are. The virgin birth of Jesus can make Christmas really possible in our lives. Perhaps you feel like this woman right now, discouraged and depressed. Or hopefully you don't feel like this buck right here because he doesn't have the guts to run through the woods again. Or maybe you don't feel like one of Kathy's cats. Or maybe you do. But as we look at Luke chapter 1, let's read verses 26 to 38, which gives us hope today. And I just pray that God, through His infinite wisdom, would, as we're familiar with this passage, give us a fresh view of it today. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. That gives us hope, doesn't it? Now think about this. When we come to number one, an impossible Christmas is made possible because God comes to unlikely people in unlikely circumstances. You think about Mary and the angel Gabriel who appeared to Daniel and others in the Old Testament. appeared to Elizabeth's husband when the conception of John the Baptist, and what happened to him when Gabriel appeared. He went mute. The same thing happened to Daniel in the Old Testament. He went mute. Now, those were men, but now the Gabriel appears to a woman. She didn't go mute. I really didn't mean it to come out that way when I was thinking of it in my mind, but I guess it did. But I was more thinking of women are strong, and these men just couldn't speak. But I guess if you want to take it down that path, you can. But think about this. The angel Gabriel skipped Jerusalem and the holy, beautiful Solomon's temple to come to a no-name town of insignificance, a town that had a reputation for being morally corrupt and full of Gentiles. It was a halfway stop between port cities of Tyre and Sidon. And I thought of this whole thing. You know, if you've ever been traveling in America, across America, or anything like that, you come to a place where it's in the middle of two big cities, and there's a gas station, and it's like the night, like a nightmare. The neon lights are kind of half flashing, and there's sinister people walking around, and you pull over and you try to put gas so you can make it to the next town. That was Nazareth. God comes to the most unlikely places. He comes and bypasses all the great things. And think about this also as well. Based on the cultural norms at the time, scholars believe that Mary and Joseph were most likely between the ages of 12 and 14. They were poor. They were illiterate. And they didn't have very much experience in life. And being from Nazareth, they were destined to be poor. Never travel far, do anything that would be considered significant by worldly standards. And for those of you that maybe like me have felt that insignificance, how can God come and intervene in my life? How could God change me? I'm of no account, I'm of no importance. This gives us hope because the Lord comes to seemingly insignificant places and it's right where we are. And the Lord comes sovereignly, not only that, to fulfill his will through people that are physically incapable, right to our condition of weakness and neediness. He didn't go to a king. He didn't go to a rich person. He didn't go to a mature, well-learned, well-educated adult. A 14-year-old girl. Not only that, she was a virgin. So there's absolutely no physical way she could get pregnant. The Lord comes to the seemingly average, non-significant people just like us. That gives me hope. I don't know about you. Secondly, as we move on through the passage, as he comes and he says that word greetings, my secretary, Tiffany, and her family evidently has a tradition of hiding and jumping out and scaring people. So that's, if you notice, I've been a little bit nervous lately. That might be why. And then her husband showed up one day and had his pant legs rolled up and his shoes off so that I couldn't hear him coming around the corner. Greetings. Needless to say, think about Mary in her condition. And then this bright angel shows up and says, greetings, rejoice. She was startled. And that word greeting means to be calmly happy or well off. Somebody shows up like that, I'm not going to be calmly, happily, well off. Greetings. Favored one. The one who is endued with special honor. But she was greatly troubled, it says in verse 29, and that word troubled means to be completely disturbed or agitated. We're not talking about some of those family members that you might be thinking about that might be disturbed. What we're talking about, she was so stirred up in her soul and in her spirit. What in the world is going on right now? Every part of her was agitated. So the Lord brings his favor to relieve our agitation, and as he's doing right now with her. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great." Now, I want to go back to verse 29 where it says she was troubled. And in that word, it says she tried to discern what this was all about. And that word discern is another word for meditate or to reckon thoroughly, to deliberate, to reflect upon, and to think about. And oftentimes with all that is going on around us with Christmas and the lights and the advertisements, and I got to get these presents and I got to make everything right for my family to have a wonderful Christmas, we forget to sit and ponder what Christmas is all about. You know, one of the keys to faith and putting our trust and belief in God's word is to meditate on it, to think on it, not let it pass by, not dismiss it as something very quick. She was afraid. She was alarmed. But the Lord brings favor to a pondering heart. Do you have a pondering heart? If you don't have one, ask God to give you one this week. God, cultivate and birth within me through your spirit a pondering heart and mind with the scriptures, that when we read these familiar passages about the birth of Jesus Christ, and I remember when I was a kid and we didn't always read the story, but I remember thinking, well, the presents are sitting there and we're ready to go. And Dad says, well, let's turn to Luke chapter 2 and read through this passage of scripture. And I'm thinking, okay, let's speed this up a bit. Let's put this on high speed. If we're to encounter the supernatural power of God, we have to stop and ponder, just like Mary did. Because the Lord brings favor to erase the fear that's in our life. And it gets even better, because as she goes on and it reiterates in verse 30, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor." And he says, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will call his name Jesus," which means Yahweh is salvation. Now things began to click in our mind. We're talking Messiah here that was promised in the prophets in the Old Testament. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now bells are going off in our mind. You mean this is the king? He gives her a lesson from the Old Testament. And it says, "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And so the king is Jesus, the Savior. Yahweh is salvation. That's what we have to ponder. And this king is a great God. Is he the king of your life? He's Messiah. But think about this. While we're living in a bleak society, as Brother Brian mentioned, we're praying for those that lost their life and the guy that's fighting for his life. Right now, a lot of people are hurting and grieving. When is all this going to end, this insanity? We have a king that's going to be ruling forever, and he's going to rule justly. And way back in David's time, when Samuel prophesied in 2 Samuel verses 7 to 8 to 17, and I want to read that to you. If you want to turn there, you can. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8 through 17. This was the prophecy of this very moment of what the angel Gabriel was saying. He says, "Now," and this is talking to David, "Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel." Okay, it's talking about David. And I've been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name like the name of the great ones in the earth. Well, David, great. How's that going to happen? In verse 10, he says, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over the people of Israel. That was a dark time in the nation of Israel, the book of Judges. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Now God is talking about something future and greater than just David himself. It says, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, and I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. Did Jesus commit iniquity? No, he didn't, but he took on our iniquity. But my steadfast love will not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Now think about that wonderful prophetic moment. Let it sink into your hearts. Because when we live in a culture and we face times where there is no hope, we have to remember we have a king. And he's Messiah King. And he's going to reign forever. He has the last word in every situation that comes in our life. As bad and difficult and hard as it may seem, we have a king. And he's going to make it right. As depressed as we might feel right now, we have a king and he's going to bring joy to our hearts. When we're battling with illness and sickness and trials and tribulations in our life and our family, we have a king who rules forever and he's going to make it right. King Jesus, come. And then as we come to verse 34 and 35, an impossible Christmas is made possible because of the virgin birth of the Holy Son. Listen again to these verses. And Mary said to the angel, How is this going to happen? Physically and scientifically, this is not going to work. She wasn't woke or anything like that. Imagine that she was something that she was not. She says, how is this going to work? She was scientific. She understood biology. She said, and the angel said, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Son to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And I felt that when I was reading that, and I know Mary probably did. Holy, pure, blameless. And Mary being, in spite of bad teachings in some certain denominations and churches, Mary is a sinner. Mary was born into sin. The only one that was sinless was the one she was carrying in her womb. Holy. The Holy Son comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Son is able to do what us sinful humans cannot do. And you know, throughout history and throughout, with all these religions, speaking of religion again, people have attempted to try to do something that they cannot do. And that is to have their sins forgiven and washed away and to be made holy in the eyes of God. There's only one that can make us holy, and we know that, but do we ponder that? The Holy Son is able to save sinners through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we look at that word overshadow, it means to cast shade upon or to envelop in a haze of brilliancy, to invest in. We don't know how this exactly works or how it happens, but it's supernatural. When the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary's life, she was conceived the Son of God as a virgin. Because with the God that we worship, all things are possible. Christmas impossible, this makes Christmas possible. When we look at that word holy, it means to be physically pure, morally blameless, a saint. Now the Word of God calls us saints, but not because we're saints, but because Christ is a saint and he lives in us. Listen to this passage of scripture out of John chapter 3. Jesus answered, as he's talking, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old?" A similar question to that Mary had. How can this happen? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit of God." And this is where we have hope, because on that day at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. And when people are baptized, or when they get saved, they're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And what was once impossible is now made possible. We can be born again. We can go back and start that process of going back to the original creation of which God first made Adam and Eve before the fall of man. God came to renew us, to make us born again, to make us holy. And it is only through his power. Now, all of us in here as being Protestant would say, "I believe that. We're not saved by our works." But it is in those moments of desperation in our life that we forget. And we strive. We try to make it work. And we try to get God's favor. And we try to earn our way to God, even though we don't really believe that. Can't happen without the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, when is the last time that you've asked God to fill you with the Spirit? If you're saved, you have all the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get. But this prayer of saying, "God, fill me," it means, "God, take all of me." Does the Holy Spirit have all of you? Or are there parts of our hearts that we're holding back? Or there are parts of their hearts we say, "There's no way I can change in that area in my life." I'll raise all my hands where there's many times it's like, "How can I overcome this? How can I change this? I just keep going back. I keep doing this again and again and again." Well, the answer lies in the fact that I can't. But he can. Because with God, all things are possible. And it is faith in God's word. So an impossible Christmas is made possible because the virgin birth of the Holy Son of God. And last of all, an impossible Christmas is made possible because nothing is impossible with God. As we read on in verse 36, on down, it says, "Behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." So this was email in the biblical times. She hadn't contacted her relative. She didn't know she was already 6 months pregnant. She probably knew that she was barren. And God, wanting to give her some encouragement, hope as a young lady, as a young girl, you know, your old relative here, where something seemed impossible, is now pregnant. Certainly, God can create something out of barrenness. Maybe there's some of you right now in your life with whatever you're going through, and you need a miracle of God. I want you to know that it's not going to be done in the way we think or imagine or claim or want God to do or all that sort of thing. But He can do above what we ask or think, the scripture says, because He's the God that makes Christmas possible. And He's a God that nothing is impossible. God, help us and help our unbelief. Like you, I am quick to quote that verse. Well, with God, all things are possible. Nothing's impossible with God. And then I go back to my striving. Then I go back to my fear. Then I go back to my embarrassment. Then I go back to all those things. Brothers and sisters, God has called us to have faith. Believing the word of God, no matter how we feel, knowing that God promises a good result. Because He can certainly take our barrenness and our nothingness and our weakness and turn it to His glory. Certainly God can make an unregenerate sinner who is barren in sin born again. And you can see the picture of this, of the Christ who is first born from among the dead, and how that's mirrored in each of our lives, the birth of Jesus Christ within us as we become born again through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't go saying something like, well, Pastor Mike said that we're going to bear a son this Christmas. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Bible talks about receiving the Son into our lives and being born again. Just as Christ was born by the power of the Spirit, we can be born again. Certainly God can bring transformation and healing to your life. Do you believe that? I hope this example of Mary's life can show you that just an ordinary person in a no man's land where the gas station lights are flashing, it's just a stopping point. It's not a place where you want to stay. Well, one time when we were traveling, we were looking for a hotel and we ended up staying in this or going to this town, and I don't know what was wrong with their garbage system, or must be the garbage men were on strike or what, but there's garbage piled up everywhere, and it was kind of a seedy area. That's not a town we ever want to stay in again. It's a bypass town. But that is exactly where Jesus Christ comes. You might feel like you're a bypass person, or you're a bypass town. Your life might be full of garbage. The Son of God comes. He has no garbage. And He takes our garbage upon Himself. It's a beautiful thing. Listen to this scripture. When Jesus was dealing with rich people, or people that rely on themselves to be saved, Jesus looked around and said to His disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Why is He saying that? There's nothing wrong with having wealth. But all the things and the blessings that we experience here on this earth can cause us to want to rely on ourselves and our own power and our own strength. And it may not be just wealth. It could be our talents or education or whatever else. And then it says, the disciples are amazed at His words, but Jesus said to them, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. So now He's not saying just rich people. He's saying you as disciples who came from rough backgrounds, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished and said, who then can be saved? They knew a camel could not go through that gate that was small and meant for just a person to walk through in the city, that they would lock all the big doors at night. They said it's impossible. Then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Think about the gift we've received in Holy Communion, where things were once impossible are now possible with God. And as we come to the conclusion, look at Mary's response in verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord." This wasn't a light encounter. It was like, oh yeah, that was an angel. It's like, I didn't go mute. Everything's okay. She said, "Behold," with excitement, zeal, and exuberance. Mary trusted God in spite of knowing that people would not understand. Here she is, a virgin, engaged, betrothed to a young man. And if people found out that she was pregnant, they would assume she committed adultery. And the punishment for that was the death penalty. Are you willing to surrender in service to the Lord no matter what people might say or what the consequences are? With such zeal and exuberance, it was like, okay, I guess he's the God of the impossible. I have to surrender. Or are we going to spring forth in hope in that zeal that Mary did and say, "Behold, I'm your servant"? And this is not a matter of just, well, I got to have enough faith. But as she said, "Let it be according to your word." And then the angel departed. The question today that we have is, do you trust in God's word? You see, Mary was humble rather than being self-sufficient. She meditated on God's word, and so it made her open and ready for the work of God in her life. And she believed in God's power, enthusiastically surrendered to him in obedience. There was a demon-possessed boy that the disciples couldn't cast out. And so the father's telling in verse 22, "And from childhood, and it was often cast him into the fire and water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." I can imagine Jesus probably laughed almost in a sarcastic tone. "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." And I want to encourage you to pray that prayer every day. I've been praying that more often. "I believe. Help my unbelief." Job 42, our brother didn't know, Brian, that read through a passage of Job, the man who entered and encountered trials in his life and everything taken away. Here's his one of his conclusions. He says about God, "And this is how we should live, brothers and sisters. I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." What is God's purpose for you? It is to become like Jesus Christ. It is to go all the way to the end of our lives until we reach glory through the power of the Holy Spirit, through trials, through sufferings, through difficulties, through sicknesses, knowing that we have a God who can do all things and nothing that he purposes can ever be thwarted. Your salvation can't be taken away. You can't take your salvation away. Somebody else can't take your salvation away because it's done by the power of God. Now think about this. Think about Mary now. Some believe that Mary was sinless and that's the only way she could birth Christ, but she realized she was a sinner. And you would think that her blessedness, which in the later passage, if you want to read on in that chapter, when she gives her song of praise, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices. He looked on the humble estate, and from now on people will call me blessed." You think about that blessed was that she was carrying God in her womb. And the angel with all the glory and splendor came to her. But that's not what blessedness is. And Luke 11 describes what true blessedness is. Jesus points that out himself. He says, "And he said to these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you've nursed.'" She's thinking, how lucky with this woman that she birthed such an extraordinary man who does all these miracles. And notice what Jesus' response was. He says, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." That's blessedness. That's the joy that we can share at Christmas as we come together. So I want to ask our worship team to come. An impossible Christmas is made possible. Why? Because God comes to people in unlikely circumstances of humble estate. Why? Because God pours out his favor even in the midst of all of our trouble, our agitation, our fear. And why? Because he's a great king. And because of the virgin birth of a holy son who's perfect. Do you believe today that nothing will be impossible with God? Lord, help my unbelief. Christmas could be like this for us. It could be Christmas impossible, but it can become Christmas possible through faith in the Son of God. And I'm not just talking about those that don't believe or have never received Jesus Christ. I'm talking about walking by faith, not by sight. Walking, saying, Lord, I know you can do all things. Lord, I know you can do all things. Help my unbelief. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the hope and the life and the joy that Christmas can bring to each and every one of our hearts. God, I pray that you would move in those hard areas, God, and even those areas where we're hurt, those areas where we're negative and down, the areas where we've given up. You are our Christmas miracle. And we don't glory just in your birth, but we glory in the blessedness of the privilege and honor of obeying your word, of believing. So, Lord, I pray for your life and your hope to invade our hearts as we sing this song, as we go our way today. In Jesus' name, amen.